Hey, y'all. Welcome to the next episode of How to Invest in Short-Term Rentals in the Pocono Mountains, brought to you by The Short-Term Shop. We've got some usual faces here. We've got Tristan Hunt, our Poconos agent. And then we have Rachel Gignotti, whose last name I have never heard pronounced out loud. And thank God I asked her how you pronounce it before we signed on, because that's not what I was going to say. Rachel from STR Insights, who is here to talk about the income of properties in this market. So that's obviously an important factor, is trying to figure out how much properties will make when you're looking to buy a property in any market, whether you're familiar with it or not. So we've got a data person here to help us with that. Rachel, do you want to say hello and introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for the intro. Yeah, Rachel Gignotti. I know the last name is hard. I am a consultant with Kenny Bedwell and STR Insights, going on my third year. And we geek out. We're the people that sit there and stare all day at the numbers and try and figure out where the pockets of opportunity exist in the country. So excited to get here and talk about what I think is probably one of the most underrated legacy vacation markets in the country that doesn't get enough hype and is definitely kind of coming into its own now as social media and all of the things kind of explode opportunities and we share information. But yeah, excited to be here.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Tristan, would you like to say hello, even though you've been introduced 1,000 times already on this series?
Yeah. My name's Tristan. I am the Short-Term Shop real estate agent for the Poconos. So if you want to buy a home in the Poconos, I'm your person.
Simple as that. All right. So I'm Tristan and I are going to be doing a lot of listening here, because we don't have access to the data that Rachel does. So Rachel, do you want to just kind of give us like a high level overview of this area in terms of the data? And then we can kind of get more granular in terms of bedroom count and areas as we go.
Sure. Yeah. I think if I'm starting off trying to explain to a client why we like the Poconos, what we see in the Poconos that works, and why I believe in the strength of the market, it's a region, right? And I think I'm going to phrase this in a way. I know a lot of your listeners are super familiar with the Smokies, since you kind of became the queen of the Smokies and got that on everybody's radar. But the Poconos to me is very similar in profile to the Smokies. The only exception is it doesn't have a national park, but you get a lot of the same profile of guests that travel to the area, right? You have 47 million people that live within a 3-hour drive of the Poconos. Like, really think about that. That's a massive number of human beings that live within a drivable distance of this particular region, which is large and has varied opportunities for recreation. So the Poconos is known, they talk about the Pocono Mountains. You don't really get that mountain long range view kind of feel from the Poconos. There are views and there are mountains and there are ski resorts, right? It's got multiple ski resorts, but there's a whole bunch of lakes within the Poconos as well. There's outdoor recreation areas that people can go and hike and fish. And, in that way, I find it the easiest way to explain to people is it's a vast region tucked in an area of the country where you have a large population density that surrounds you that feeds that market, right? What do those markets typically lend themselves to? They lend themselves to couples that want that romantic getaway, that couples retreat, just getting out, getting away from things. And especially in the summertime, again, you're going to find like similar profile to the Smokies. That high season is going to be summer by and large, right? They do have some skiing, but that doesn't show up as their high season, highest ADRs. You're going to get that in the summertime, and you're going to get big groups or families, multi-generational families that are traveling. So, as a vacation market, I think it lines up very similarly to some other kind of legacy vacation markets in that you can win multiple ways. You can go in, niche down and focus on doing a romantic couples retreat and focus on getting that guest profile, or you can go to the big homes and look for some of those amenity heavy resorts, or look to get waterfront, or look to be on a stream, something that kind of sets you apart, but go into that larger bedroom count and you're going to see really nice revenue relative to the price that you'll pay. And I think that for me, that's where the opportunity, what we see the opportunity is in the Poconos. Imagine buying the Smokies 5 years ago, right? Like everyone you talk to says, if I had known, I would have bought 10 of them 5 years ago. The Poconos is, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on overarching real estate trends, but we've seen the Northeast as a region kind of lag behind the national average for home prices. The Poconos is really no exception to that. It is still a very affordable vacation market, legacy vacation market. So relative to other areas of the country and other markets, your dollar goes further here, which from a data perspective and what we're looking for is we're looking for that really nice correlation between purchase price and revenue. And you can still find that in abundance in a market like the Poconos, because there is, again, it's a big region. There's a lot of inventory. As long as you're selective about that inventory, you can generally find something for just about every price point and budget, which is hard these days in a lot of other markets. You get that client that comes in and says, I have a $500,000 budget. Well, you can pretty much X off quite a few lists or markets off of your list as viable, because that $500,000 can't buy them something to compete and, you know, bring in the revenue that they're looking for, that rate of return, where the Poconos still offers that, just because, again, that region of the country has not really caught up with the national average. There's still plenty of homes priced below the national average, which presents that opportunity. However, being this legacy vacation market with all of those people that are nearby to feed the market, the revenue's there.
All right. Love to hear that. So are there any areas, let's start with areas. Are there any areas that you see that consistently have higher incomes than others?
Yeah, I would say, and I don't want to be too fine, because there, what you need to understand about the Poconos is it's made up of different resort communities. This is one of the early adopters, like the whole area became known as a resort area. So you have what the Poconos likes to call, and I'm sure Tristan can throw in some color commentary to this, but there's individualized communities. And within those communities, each one offers, you know, different community amenities and have different profiles for how the ownership works as far as what you pay in to give your guests access to those amenities. Certain communities like Lake Harmony, really well known, very well established, some of the nicer homes that I've seen exist in Lake Harmony. It's a well-liked community because of its community amenities. Most of the best performing communities in the Poconos that we see have a lake. And you're going to find that revenue gets stronger, just like in any other lake market or beach market. The closer you get to the water, the higher the revenue goes. So that lakefront stuff is going to crank. But if you're, you know, three rows back from the lake, your revenue is going to start to drop the further back you get. The caveat is that there are communities within the Poconos that are golf cart friendly. So if you can find a, let's call it tier two or tier three, in a lake Poconos community that allows for your guests to ride a golf cart to the lake, your revenue is not going to fall as far, as fast, the further you get from the lake if you provide a golf cart to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
But to the exact question of where does the revenue exist, I mean, there are certain communities like Goldsboro, Lake Harmony, where you're going to find that the lakefront stuff can really, really crush it. And that really can go across all bedroom counts. I've seen one bedroom lakefront places that are doing over $100,000 and they were picked up for sub $500,000. Now, can you find that exact deal today? I don't know, right? But they are out there and we've seen them come across. So if you can get lakefront or you can get a lake view in an area where you can provide a golf cart and a way for guests to get to the lake quickly, you can really, really crush it. If you can get at the base of some of the larger ski resorts, even though, again, winter isn't exactly high season, but like Camelback, one of the larger resorts, there's properties there that have that view of the slopes or they are very adjacent to the slopes. They will kill it in the wintertime just because of their proximity to one of the better ski resorts in the Poconos. And then I've seen coming out of the HOAs, if you can find properties that maybe are just outside of some of the HOAs, but central to some of the big tourist draws. Like you've got a NASCAR Speedway here. I know it's not something that we talk about in the short-term rental space a lot, but NASCAR has a pretty big fan base. And just because they have one NASCAR race there a season doesn't mean there aren't all of these other levels of racing that come and hold an event there. If you are somebody that is into that kind of thing and you can be near the Speedway with a decent-sized property, with a handful of the more common amenities today in some of the more competitive markets, you can really stand you can separate yourself in that market. And I think that's, you know, again, I don't want to get too far off topic, but what what we see that really works well in the Poconos is just updating and getting to the standard of where the Smokies was even 3-4 years ago. That this market has lagged behind in every sense. It is a legacy vacation market. It's always had the people, but the ownership and the property management that exists there has gotten by on doing the bare minimum for a very, very long time. So when we see hosts elevate the game, not pickleball court in the backyard, not movie theater with reclining seats, but just bringing it up to some level of design and furnishing, throw in some arcades, put some family-friendly amenities in, you really do step up a lot closer to that top 10% here than you would in another market that's already gotten to that point. The Poconos has not evolved quite yet to that. And so we see this very, very large separation between the top 10% and everybody else. But the top 10% is still very attainable in this market, even for a first-time investor, because it's not a super competitive market yet. There's not a lot of the market that has stepped up to that level.
Oh, love that. Love a market where there's not a lot of sophisticated operators yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned amenities. So as of right now, you don't have to have this fully immersive design, theming, amenity soup, backyard situation to do well.
Correct. Yeah, no, it's not that market. I mean, they are a market where, by and large, if somebody knows what they're doing, they have a hot tub and they have, you know, maybe a home goods kind of level of design. They've got a couple little tchotchkes going on, right? But it's not professional design across the board. You're not seeing stargazing domes and pickleball courts and barrel saunas. I think I saw my first barrel sauna pop up in Poconos this year, where you go to another market. And everybody's, you know, they're playing the amenity war and they're like, what else can we buy? What else can we throw in the backyard? That'll definitely bring more money. You know, and again, not to get too far off topic, but there isn't a ton of data around this stuff either, right? As these markets are evolving, if there are only 1% of the market that's implemented a barrel sauna, we can't really back that up and say, yeah, go out and spend $10,000 on a barrel sauna and it's going to equate to this much more revenue, because it's not proven out yet. The Poconos, it just hasn't reached that point. And it is a large market. I mean, I think that's something that people really don't understand as well as they should. The region is large. There are a lot of ways to attract guests. There are a lot of reasons that guests are coming to the area already. It doesn't take as much here to get up into that top 10% as it does into a market like the Smokies that graduated so quickly in such a compressed amount of time. So you're not going to have to go build a pickleball court in the backyard. You're not going to have to do barrel sauna and, you know, geodesic dome and whatever else things that we're trying to throw in the backyards of these places. That's not necessary here. If you can lean towards nicer design and more thoughtful design around guest count, right? How do people sleep comfortably and create the gathering spaces where guests can all eat at the, you know, the simple things, like, do we have a big enough dining room table? If we're sleeping 10 people, do 10 people sit at the dining room table? I mean, we're still there in the Poconos. I feel like many of the properties that I look at that are not underperforming, but look like they're performing the average, there's these very simple things that could be tweaked that would improve that property to get them out of the average, level them up a little bit. We're not talking $200,000 worth of design and amenities to reach that top 10%. And again, that's an opportunity because the markets left that have the draw, that are well known enough that you don't have to hire Instagram influencers and do a crazy dance and upload a YouTube video to get people to want to come to your place. The people are already coming. You just need to capture the larger share of the people that are already coming. It's very easy to do that here by just implementing some of the things that a couple of years ago were groundbreaking and now they're commonplace and even the entry level places in these other markets.
Okay. So let's move on from that and talk about bedroom count. So are there any, when I ask this question, I'm not implying that there is one right and only bedroom count that does the best. Everything is going to depend on the deals that are available at the time that you're buying. So you might happen to buy when the best deal on a one bedroom has come up in the last 20 years and you end up with the best one bedroom for the best price ever, but we're just looking at overall trends. So it's not to say that other things that we don't mention won't work. We're just looking at trends. So just a little preface there, but Rachel, go ahead. What are you seeing with baseball? with baseball, with bedroom counts?
Okay. Easy. I think, again, to keep referencing the Smokies, what we've already seen in the Poconos is, because it's got a very similar profile, I think the best opportunities are either go small or go large. Stay out of the middle, right? The middle gets squeezed in just about every market with lots and lots of listings. The ones and twos, again, I've seen one bedrooms in the Poconos that are blowing past six figures, which relative to what I know they paid there, that's an incredible return. So I like the one and two bedrooms specifically. And I want to, you know, at some point get this in because this is a really important talking point for me with the Poconos. But I like the ones and twos and I like the fours on up. I like to kind of stay away from the threes. I'm not saying you can't make money with a three bedroom in the Poconos. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you have the option, I would rather see somebody not stretch their budget to get the largest house that they can afford. If the largest house you can afford is a three bedroom, you might be better suited to look down a bedroom count. Look at those ones and twos and see what the opportunity presents, because you'll find that by and large, the revenue is very similar between the twos and the threes. And if you do a small two or a well done one, you'll actually see better revenue out of those than you will out of an average three bedroom. So I like to really be very specific about that, because it's not about, there are certain better opportunities in certain bedroom counts. But if you're the client listening to this, is thinking you're going to go into this market, if you're stretching your budget to get a three bedroom and you can't really make it the best three bedroom in the market, you're better off to look down. Go down and be the best in the smaller bedroom count. Those smaller bedroom counts, you're going to see higher occupancy. Sure, you can't quite get as high an ADR out of a one bedroom as you can out of a three bedroom, but you're going to be occupied more because they're easier to sell. Couples places just do well. There are a lot of reasons why two people want to leave their city life for a weekend or a midweek stay because they ended up with a random day off and get away from town. That's what they're going to come here for. It's important when you're looking at those small ones, the more private you can find these places, right? Don't go buy a one bedroom that's got neighbors on both sides that you can see. That you're not going to be able to effectively sell that couple's getaway, that romantic retreat. So look for something with a little bit of privacy, a little bit of seclusion, right? But a really well done one bedroom or two bedroom in the Poconos, I would say the average revenue range is going to be 60 to 80K. That is, again, right on par with what the Smokies is producing, mm-hmm. except for I can buy that for a lot less than I can buy that in the Smokies if I go to the Poconos for that same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then moving to fours and fives, right? I think this is kind of common knowledge now. People know, try to stay out of the middle. Again, I'm not saying you can't make money with three bedroom, but if you have the ability to go up, look and see if you can find something that you can either turn into a four bedroom or a four bedroom that you can move to a five bedroom, because the numbers really start to go up from there once you break out of the threes. So you get to the fours and fives. You get it. You're talking about a revenue range of 100 to 150, depending on what percentage of the market you're going to fall into. If you can get into one of these monster properties, which there aren't as many of them here, certainly that's where it really varies from the Smokies. You don't have all the building going on in the Poconos. You've got existing homes and very little new construction inventory. So there aren't a lot of those six and seven bed monsters. But if you can find one, or you can find a larger footprint, four or five bedrooms that you could expand to six or seven bedrooms and really get that guest count up, you're looking at 150 to 200,000 out of those. And those don't have to be lakefront to get those numbers, right? There's one in particular, the Green Monster, that comes to mind. I'm sure Tristan knows the house that I'm talking about. That's a 200,000 plus per year property. It is not on a lake. It does look like a little miniature resort, kind of a Bradenton-esque inside. It's got a little slide thing coming down off the bunk beds. But the point is that revenue opportunity, that revenue ceiling is definitely here in the Poconos. For my money, if I'm working with somebody on the lower end of the budget, I don't want them to stretch to try and get a three, even a small four that can't work well as a four bedroom. I'd rather see them click down and look at the smaller properties and really focus their energy and intention on making that unique couple's getaway stay, because you're going to ride that higher occupancy. If you've got a larger budget, or you're one of these more seasoned investors that wants to go take on building out a super property, the Poconos offers a lot of opportunity for that if you can get into those fours, fives, and even better if you can break higher than that, get that guest count up. But the caveat to all of this, you do need a very well-seasoned realtor because one of the things that comes into play in the Poconos is guest count, septic regulations, right? Certain communities are on septic while others are on city sewer, and they have requirements and restrictions around how many people a house can sleep, depending on the size of the septic system. So those are all things that we're taking into consideration when we're looking at something. I might have a client that wants to go make this big super property out of something. We find out what size the septic is. You have to factor for that expense to upgrade that septic to be able to get to that optimal guest count so that you can really crush it and get that big number, right?
Yeah. Okay. So you say you don't have, if you're going to go big, like a 5 or 6 bed, do you have to do the super property thing or no?
You do not. You do not have to do the super property thing. I'm saying that if you are that person that has these visions of grandeur of building out this super, super property, the Poconos is great. Like, it is a market that is ripe for that because there aren't very many of them. And we now have a handful of proof of concepts. We've seen that revenue. We've seen what they've been able to generate by going big in that sense. But it is not the market where you have to. If you can find something, again, it's a matter of picking the community that is by and large well-known amongst the guests that are coming. You want to grade kind of what that community offers for your guests because the communities offer amenities. That helps you, the owner, have to build a pool in the backyard if I have 2 community pools in the community that I'm in and I can buy within minutes of those, making them easy access for my guests to use. Right now, I get to list that amenity, but I'm not the person that put in the money to put the amenity there. It already exists for me. And then you want to think about, you know, again, high season being summer, and a lot of people come to the Poconos to enjoy a lake market, but there's lots of lakes. So what community am I going to go into? What does that lake look like? Does it have a nice beach? Does it have amenities for the guests to use the lake? Is there boat rental or canoe or kayak rental? What's available for me at the lake through the community that I'm in? And then start thinking about it, just like any other market where water is present, your revenue will be higher the closer to the water that you are. And the further back you go from the water, you'll start to see the revenue dip. Does it mean you're not going to be profitable? Absolutely not. But if you're looking for the absolute best buy box and you can afford to get lakefront, you want to try and go lakefront and you want to try and get at least 4 bedrooms, even better as you move into the 5s and 6s, because those things will just crank.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned that 1 to 2 beds, you're looking at like a 60 to 80,000 revenue range. Once you bump up to that 4 bed, say it's not a super property, what are we looking at there?
You're looking at 100 and the top end 150, depending on, again, the community, how close you are, what is your proximity to whatever the community offers and or the lake that the people are going to come for to capture the maximum out of high season. And then again, you get over those 5s and you're talking easily 150 to 200. And again, they do not have to be lakefront, but it in a way that a lot of other places are not, the communities within the Poconos will dictate the revenue. And that's another really keen point to kind of make to people. When you're looking at comparables and you're talking about what can I make in this community, you want to try and stay within that community for your comps. It doesn't do you a lot of good to be looking at a property in, you know, Lake Arrowhead and comparing it to Goldsboro because they're not the same, right? You want to, and your realtor will guide you, but the community amenities and the proximity of the property that you pick to the big amenities that is the draw for a lot of your clientele is going to dictate your revenue.
All right. Very, very thorough, Rachel. Love it. What have I not asked about revenue in this market that our listeners should hear?
I think that they should hear that across the board, closing out 2025, we now have almost an entire year. ADRs are up in the Poconos, and I can break that down for you.
Yeah.
So one-bedroom ADRs are up 4%. 2 bedrooms are up 3%. 4 bedrooms are up 2%. 5 bedrooms are up 2% and 6 bedrooms are up 3%. Occupancy across the entire, all of the Poconos region also up year over year. So this is year over year growth. And again, I think it just can't be stated enough that when you find a market that's lagging behind national average for home prices, but it still has revenue and we're seeing growth in the market across occupancy and ADR, that is a nice place to invest in, right? Mm-hmm. You're investing into the trend. You're not trying to invest against the trend, which is what, you know, we're all trying to accomplish. We're all trying to find that wave and kind of ride that up. Mm-hmm. My personal feeling is that the Poconos is kind of in that, it's in that growth cycle. This market is starting to really, really evolve and get a lot of attention from people because you have the draw, you have the revenue, and we're seeing the year over year growth. So, you know, again, occupancy, just looking across every bedroom count in the Poconos, occupancy is up across the board. Market-wide RevPAR is up. RevPAR is, you know, ADR times your occupancy. It's up across all bedroom counts by 5%, but weekend RevPAR, 8%. That's not nothing. That's a number that people should be paying attention to. When you're analyzing your markets, you really want to look at, is this market still growing? Can I come in and grow with this market and ensure myself a longer runway of profitability, right? I don't want to be buying against a trend where the market's already starting to go against me, or I'm afraid that it's going to tip over and go against me shortly after I enter, right? Mm-hmm. I want to think that when I go and I put my hard-earned money into something, that it's going to produce that rate of return without having to worry that I'm going to drop 5, 10, 15% year over year. The Poconos is growing in that way across every metric that we measure, that everybody measures. Any of the data people that are looking at this are seeing the same thing that we're seeing, right? That every category we've seen growth year over year. That's a great trend.
Yeah, that is a really great trend. And I like to see two slow, steady growth. You know, we're not shooting up 15, 20, 30% because that tells me we're nice and stable. We know what to expect. We're not having a weird COVID thing where everything shot up, or a weird other end of COVID thing where everything shot down. So I like to see that nice, steady.
You mean normalized?
Yes, normalized. What a great word. Yes, normalized. I like that. I like feeling normal in the market, which we haven't had in a while. Well, I think I would say between 2024 and 2025, we've kind of reached a little bit of a steady normal. 2020, we shot up. 2022, we kind of hit the peak and then took like a pretty good drop, and everybody lost their minds. And then now everything's kind of like evened out, normalized. Love it.
Yeah. And I think like taking that and applying it back to the Poconos as a market, as a region, I'm sure that there was the COVID spike. I think I could go back and actually find that and show you, because pretty much every legacy vacation market saw the COVID spike. But what I like to see as we have now definitely come out of the COVID boom and, you know, the retraction back to some normalcy, to see year over year growth in every category that we measure is a very good indicator that the thesis that we have about this market is correct, in that the clientele is there. This and more like on a broader scale than that, this region of the country very specifically is still growing, right? We're seeing, you know, you're a real estate investor outside of short-term rentals. If you follow these pockets of the country where other asset class real estate investors are watching, the Northeast is on a lot of people's radar. Pittsburgh is projected to be like the number one long-term market to go into for 2026 because of the growth. Pittsburgh's only 4 hours from the Poconos. Those are good indicators that if I'm a educated investor in the short-term rental space, I'm not just looking at the short-term rental stuff, but I'm looking at the region by and large around me that I'm planning to go park money into to understand, what is it doing? What are we seeing out of this market? So you have what I think is, you know, kind of that perfect storm for a very safe, what could be a very surprisingly profitable investment in an area where prices are below the national average. The growth is there. You have so many 47 million people within 3 hours. That is a lot of people. That is a lot of possible guests. You don't have to go build out your, you know, direct booking site and do a little dance and put a thing on YouTube to get people to come. They're coming. They live here. This is their getaway market for major cities that are still experiencing real growth. And I think we've seen that now trickle down into the short-term rental data that we're looking at. The region around the Poconos area is still growing. And this is that backyard vacation destination for those people. That, you know, there's really not an indicator that says that it's not going to continue to grow nice and slow and steady over the next couple of years. And being outside of that COVID data to see year over year growth when, you know, I'm going to be honest, there's a lot of markets that we're looking at right now that were darling markets last year. They're really down this year. Not any of the big ones, but some of those kind of tertiary markets that you've heard a lot of people talk about. social media. They're down considerable amounts. The Poconos is going the other direction, nice and slow and steady, just kind of moving along, doing what it's always done. And as more and more people kind of discover the region and understand the opportunity, I think we're just going to see that continue.
Love that. Thank you, Rachel, for a very thorough and easy to understand synopsis of the income data on this market. Guys, we have a few more episodes left. Thank you so much for listening. In the meantime, if you're ready to maybe start looking with Tristan, you can reach out to us at agents@theshorttermshop.com. We'll get you connected with him. And Rachel, if people want to follow you on social media or get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Oh, goodness. I'm not a social media person. I am in your Facebook group. They can, I'm sure, find me there if you can remember how to spell my last name, STR Insights. If you hit the website, I think it's got all of our contact information. I'm rachel.gagnati@strinsights.com. But again, that's such a mouthful that nobody will remember. But you can find me in Avery's Facebook group. I'm in there from time to time trying to comment politely and not stir up any trouble. And and if you hit the STR Insights website, it's got our whole team listed below. You can find my contact there.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much. And we'll catch y'all on the next episode.
Yep. Thanks, Avery.